Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today show. And you know what? We all can admit we all need to have a global vision, because as it stands right now, without vision, the people perish. And we know our God, whom we serve, is not looking for anyone to perish. And whoever's on the line, please mute your phone. We hear some rambling in the background, and this is not the time to hear rambling, but this is the time to hear the message. Am I holding on to God in vain? Part two. We had part one on last week, but now, am I holding on to God in vain? Part two, by popular demand. People wanted to know, well, wait just a minute. Everything has happened so suddenly, so soon. I really want to hear more about this. I want to know, have I been walking, talking, preaching, praying, and heralding all the proclamations of a God that, you know, some say you can't even see? Have I been doing that in vain when I look outside the window and see all these crazy things happening? But I want the audience to know that Colonel Harrison will be joining us again. And right now, for part two, am I holding on to God in vain? I mean, part one was off the hook. As comments took center stage on why prayers and worship has opened the eyes of the blind and has adherence of seeking God with even more fervor than decades ago. Oh, my God, what's going on? What's the problem? Who has been in charge of the masses spiritually? Well, we're going to get on with that topic in a matter of seconds, but our second half of the hour brings to our show Chaplain Doug Cohen. He's Vietnam War chaplain, Jewish War Veterans National Chairman, former United States Air Force Jewish chaplain. I mean, oh, my God, he's been so much, but he has something to talk about with our listeners on how they, too, can live a life worth living. And he's going to introduce us to the Kevin Dobson Memorial Food for Life program and how artists can put the advantage of the food program with free food delivery in L.A. County. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Colonel Harrison, thank you so much for tuning in again. I mean, you know, it's so lively when we get on the show because, hey, we are live wire with information that is passed down from generation to generation and, of course, through and by God's Almighty. Now, let's answer this question. Am I holding on to God in vain? People want to know. They see what's going on. They see what they feel has not happened, has not gone on, and they're worried about that. They're worried about their churches being shut down, some are opening. They're worried about whether or not God is really interested in world affairs here on earth. They're wondering, should I jump ship and try to make it on my own with what little knowledge I have? What is going on? Am I really trying to serve this unseen God in vain? I don't have nothing, haven't got nothing. What I had is taken away. What's going on? He said the cattle on a thousand hills is his. What's the problem? Why are people feeling that they're holding on to this God in vain? Colonel Harrison, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Capitina, listening audience. I'm here.
Okay, wake up.
Yes,
wake up.
I'm with you. Normally you give me an entree to a good morning or something, but in any event, good morning. And good morning. It's great
that.
To be on.
You already got the entree.
Thank you. It's good to be on the show again. Thank you, Dr. Capitina, listening audience. Yes, ma'am. With respect to the question, are we holding on to God in vain? No, we're not holding on to God in vain. I guess first we need to define what vain means. Vain means having a showing an excessively high opinion of something. Okay, so God is real. God is tangible. God is invisible because God is a holy, infinite spirit whom we can't see, and his dwelling place or his residence is a place called heaven, which is above above the atmosphere, the ionosphere, and so forth and so on, above this earth. So whatever we do without having God at the center of our lives, then that is in vain. That comes to emptiness. That comes to nothingness. That comes to vanity, because God created everything so that mankind, his highest order of creation, would be depending upon him to lead, guide, and direct our lives. And so when we get out of sync with our, let's take for an example briefly, our mother or our father, who birthed us, and we're not in agreement with them, but yet we're depending upon them to take care of us. One or two things has to happen. Either we have to change to agree with our mother and father's rules and regulations, or our mother and father tell us when we get to a certain age, then we need to leave their house. So we're children, we're adults, but yet we're children of God the Father. God the Creator is our Father, and so we have to establish a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is God the Creator, who is Jehovah. And I'll pause.
Well, you know, yeah, that sounds wonderful. I really like that answer, you know, as far as, you know, when a child gets 18, he has to leave. That I don't like. But I like the fact that the parent will nurture them, hopefully, from birth to 18 or whatever age they say that, you know, they should be on their own, you know, for them to actually do that. You know, that's good, but I wouldn't call that, you know, being a favor. And we see some of the rotten fruitage from that kind of teaching. When you get 18, you got to get out of here. Well, where are you going? How do they know they really know what they ought to know? How do they know they're emotionally and mentally equipped to get out there and hit the streets? Let's get back to mom, dad. Have they themselves been on the forefront training them in the way that they should go? So, you know, that sounds like to me that is suspect. And I know down south, you know, they used to do all of that talking, you know, even here, you know, if you age out of the foster care system at 18, people are saying, oh, they have no safety net. So, you know what, that should be a topic for another conversation. But right now, when a person thinks that he's holding on to God in vain, I think that would refer also to the fact that he's not getting nothing for holding on. You know, I've been running, I've been talking, I've been preaching, things have got worse and worser. I think people feel that, you know, the reward that they were looking for, they haven't got. The reward that the Bible promised them, they have not seen yet. So I think people are wondering, well, is there anything I can do in the meantime? Is there something that I've missed about this God? Is there something I haven't been taught about what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go? I know that God's original purpose was for mankind to go on out there and multiply the earth. Is there anything new? Let's fast forward to the New Testament. Let's fast forward to the days of Jesus. Right upon his time of ascension back to heaven, he said, go ye therefore. So I'm thinking, you know, go ye therefore was part of a message for them to go preach, teach, and make disciples. He didn't say wait until tomorrow. He didn't say if you spoke 8 or 9 languages. He didn't say if you went to the school of the Sanhedrin. He said, I want you to get up and get out of here. And I think a lot of us, even centuries later, missed that point. So as far as holding on to God in vain, I think people feel that way when they have not been taught anything about God. They've heard some words about him, but they have not been taught anything. They can't tell you who Obadiah's father was. They can't tell you how old Jesus Christ was when he came into the ministry. They can't talk to you about the Levitical priesthood. They can't talk to you about the Deuteronomic law that helps govern a person's living today. They can't do it. The reason why they can't do it, which builds faith, is that they haven't been taught. Is that part of a protocol, Colonel Harrison, that you can agree with and talk to us about? Is part of the reason people are feeling so down and out about God is because they have not been taught anything about that God? So, of course, they might say, oh, yes, I'm holding on to God in vain. He ain't done nothing. I ain't seen nothing. Whatever he promised, I haven't got those promises yet. My people are sleeping in the grave. They ain't seen nothing either. So, am I holding on to God in vain? How would we tell, especially these university people today that don't know anything about God? They can't even spell the name Jehovah. How can we put that into a suspected reason why people think they're holding on to God in vain?
Yes, people must be taught at an early age. Children must be taught who God is. So very important. And the psalmist said in Psalm 83:18, that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, are the most high over all the earth. And if we don't know who's in charge of the earth, who's made heaven and earth and mankind and all that dwells therein, the animal kingdom and so forth, then we are losing the foundation of having an understanding of who we are to seek, who we are to allow to direct and guide our lives. I know you had mentioned the New Testament, and rightfully so, but then we fast forward to Jeremiah the prophet, clearly says to us, Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So we need someone higher than man, superior than man, greater than man, to direct man's path on the earth. And that someone is God, and God's name is Jehovah. And other religions, he's referred to a different name. But I just want to try to get some clarity. If we're driving a car, the car needs a driver. Yes, I know they're coming out with driverless cars and all that stuff, and I'm not ready for that yet. But you get behind the steering wheel of a car, and you steer and you guide and you direct the car. We have to have God steer and direct and guide our path, our life, and so forth, and that which we do. And we end up having a better life, and we end up having a quality life, and we end up having a pleasing life. Absence of God, we go through trials and tribulation. The world's in chaos now because most people have rejected God, don't know who God is, or have not accepted God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, and it's gotten worse because, as I said earlier, these young people, if at any other time in the world, need to have someone as a creator over them, they're rejecting that. You don't see a lot of people enrolling in the seminaries anymore. I was reading something on Fuller Seminary that used to be in Pasadena's site, and it's down almost 60%. People are not being told, hey, get an education about the Creator, the God, about the one whom he said he sent his son. Get some kind of an education there. They don't want that. So do you think that's part of the problem? We go right back to the situation of people, parents, godparents, grandparents. They're not interested in teaching anything that has to do with God, the Bible, right living, good living, righteous living. They're not interested in that. So when a person says, oh, you know what, this life isn't worth living, I haven't gotten nothing out of it. You know, I've been following this rule, this law, this regulation, these proclamations, I haven't gotten anything out of that. Do you feel that this lack of biblical, scriptural education is part and parcel of the problem? Because if you're hanging on to him, you should have had enough information to build your faith to hang on him. Do you think that's part of the problem? Let's get right back to the poor talk of education. Can we look at that and say that's a problem?
Yes, the lack of the foundation of Bible knowledge is definitely part of the problem. I'm reminded years gone by, parents took their children to church every Sunday school. Church, for the most part, lasted all day. There was Sunday school where children got to read the Sunday school books and and recite certain scriptures and so forth and so on. Then they got to hear the Sunday school lesson. They got to hear the preach word after the teach word and all of that. You know, Wednesday night Bible study, the whole nine yards. The focus was more spiritual minded because the Bible tells us with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so for us to try to absence ourselves from the Creator who created the air that we breathe, who create the sun that shine, who create the moon, sun during the day, the moon at night, and the stars, and all these things, that the essence of creation is in the hands of God. And for us to think that we can exist without the Creator is ludicrous. Yes, it needs to be taught. Yes, we need to go back to the basics. Yes, churches are very important, of various denominations, to teach people who God is, because God, learning who God is, gives them hope, gives them inspiration, gives them salvation, and gives them a purpose for life.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And, you know, I know so many people that have been members in ministries and churches for many years, even decades. But with the churches in the chaos that they are now, you see almost weekly, some minister is caught doing something crazy, or he's caught in these crazy relationships, caught teaching an unfathomable doctrine, something that has been concocted in his own mind. You have some that are even involving themselves in a lot of interfaith religions when clearly Scripture shows one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So much is actually going on like that. Do you think that the reasons why there's no education being taught and a lack of faith placed out there on the table is part and parcel of the world conditions? Some are saying, oh, Dr. Cupertino, please don't mix us. Oh, yes, I will. We have to. We have to look at this. This nation was founded, and we all know this, so I'm not going to teach anything about history, was on biblical Christian principles. Some will argue that, but if you leaf through everything, even the Declaration of Independence, every man had a chance that wanted to do right by his or her creator. What can we say based on those statements? What can we say to turn this thing around? Is it too late? Is it too late to point to an invisible God and say, help me, please? It appears that he's letting things go right across the globe in prophecy. How can we, as what I call, and some is the doctor, but we are just little men and women, what can we do to hold on to a God that is not in vain, that has not taught vanity? I mean, what can we do?
You stated, Doc, the world is going the way of Bible prophecy, the prophecies of the Old Testament, which is the first 39 books of the standard Holy Bible. And the oldest one in print is King James. So there's a remnant, the Bible teaches that, and it's in the Septuagint, it's in the Torah. There's a remnant that can and will be saved. A remnant means a few people that will be saved, because there are a few people that will seek God. There are few people will search for God. Few people want to change their lifestyle and better their lifestyle because they realize the way they're living is detrimental to them and detrimental to their betterment and their welfare. And so there's a remnant to be saved, but the vast majority will go the way of the world. What is the way of the world? Sinful ways, ways that are not pleasing to God, words, ways that are against the teachings of God in the holy writings. So they want to pursue money. They want to pursue fame. They want to pursue drugs, want to pursue liquor, they want to carouse, they want to commit adultery and fornication and on and on and on. That's the way of the world. Seeking those things are vain, those things are vanity because they're short-lived. We got to turn, find our way according to the teachings, the holy writings. that God has passed down, handed down through generations after generation and generation, centuries of his golden rules, the commandments, the ordinance, the statutes that we are to govern our lives by. Jobs have rules and regulation. God has rules and regulation called Holy Scriptures. So people got to turn away from their ways and turn back, searching, seeking God, and they will be able to find their way and live a better quality of life during this short period of time that we have life here on earth.
Oh, my God. I'm scared hearing that. But listen, let's kind of back this train up a bit. When you say they have got to turn their lives around, I don't believe they're going to be able to do that without the proper education. I don't think anyone's just going to wake up in the morning, you know, get up and wait for their breakfast and their orange juice and say, oh, something just hit me. I'm going to turn to God. First of all, they've got to know who God is. Who is this God? What does he call himself? Is it really true that this God created heaven and earth? I mean, you have scientists, you have strong academics asking themselves these questions. I don't think anyone's just going to jump up and say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Should there be some other type of institutional organization that can stand up and stand out there and say, okay, you guys, see where we're at. We've messed up. We're in bad shape. Our enemies are looking from every corner in the universe. We've got to turn this thing around. Do you think people want to say, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Let's go to God and see if we can turn this thing around. I don't think that's going to happen without, here we go again, educating the masses. These people have got to be taught. He said, Matthew 28, go ye therefore teaching and preaching. So we cannot leave that component out. He didn't say wait until Rufus and Enoch come to you. He said, go ye therefore. You can, these ministers, whatever they want to call themselves, they cannot skirt the fact that proclamation that was given to them, he said, go ye therefore. You can't get around that. So these people are not sitting up waiting to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to God. This teaching, this education, I keep stressing that. Do you think that is so pertinent and so necessary? I'm not going to serve a God I don't know anything about. I'm not going to serve a God I haven't heard anything about. I'm not going to serve a God that grandma told me about and I've seen all her suffering and she died in excruciating pain. I'm not going to do it. I would not do it. I would not even advertise that for someone else to do it. What about a teaching campaign or something worldwide? Do you think that would help the situation of a person saying, you know what, forget God. I ain't got nothing. I ain't never going to have nothing. And I don't know if he's a black guy, he's a white guy, he's a Jewish guy. I don't know anything about him, you know. I don't think they're just going to wake up and say, oh, yeah, God, help me, God. Let's talk about the education and the moments that we have left. How do you think we can get a worldwide educational program about the true God? Now, there's many out there. See, that's going to be another problem. You got so many gods masquerading now, so many people serving everything. I haven't heard someone in some other country was bowing down to some cowbells. You know, that's who they worship. I mean, it has gotten crazy. I think people need to be educated. And I won't just say, okay, the Bible, you have so many, they don't want to hear from that book. You know, they say, oh, you know what, Dr. Carpentier, that's an old man's book. That's a book out of order. I know these people don't believe in the Bible past Deuteronomy. I know these people got their own book. I know the book of Satan is out there. Oh, my God. Oh, give me a headache even to talk about it. Let's talk about the education. Is that part of the problem, like people are feeling that they're holding on to God in vain? I know you have a group of people or an organization called the International Platform for Peace. I know you guys are getting ready for a march to move out in a caravan across the nation. We will be hearing more about that, but is that part of an educational program that you guys are doing? Because, you know, the virus is still running amok. Is that part of an educational outlet to teach people about the God that you say is called Jehovah? Is it or is it not?
No, the International Platform for Peace, Doc and listening audience, is a non-sectarian organization. We're promoting peace, faith, and family. Peace, faith, and family. That is our intent, to see that we have peace within ourselves, peace within our families, peace within our communities, and peace within our country. Faith is to strengthen the faith of us, whatever denomination, affiliation might be, to have faith and confidence and courage in that, and to strengthen family, because the family is fragile now. The family has been fragmented because of so many things that have impacted the family, single family, head of household, all those kinds of things. So peace, faith, and family is the marching orders for the International Platform for Peace. But in regards to turning this around, those who are members of the Catholic faith or denomination, and though the others are Protestants, got to find a way to come together, the leaders and the heads of those denominations, got to find a way to come together and have, I believe they need to have, for lack of a better term, have a meeting and get beyond our differences in doctrinal teachings and those kinds of things, and say what is in the best interest of mankind. Let's talk about these principles that were handed down during the first century, and let's agree to these principles, and let's go on a worldwide initiative to try and draw mankind back to God before mankind perish. And I believe that's what has to happen, because there's so many religious denominations, so forth and so on. So the Catholics and the Protestants got to come together, and they got to meet, and they got to come to an understanding of the basic principles that need to bring salvation to mankind and save mankind from perishing from the earth.
Oh, my God, yeah, because, you know, that's very well stated. So many are saying that, in fact, I just read something from someone saying 2025, the whole earth is going to vanish. I mean, throughout history, there's been people proclaiming that something bad's going to happen to the earth. But we know who holds tomorrow, and we base our faith on that. But just holding on to God, would you recommend a person strengthening himself and his faith by learning more about the scriptures, what they say, doing research? I don't know about the interfaith movement, but do you think, once again, and I'm going to keep stressing that because we have about 2 or 3 minutes before we bring on Chaplain Doug Cohen, but I want to know from you, do you have an educational component in your ministry or your church?
Yes, I have an educational component in the church for new members that join the church, also for the regular members. Once a week, we have what is called Bible study. In addition to that, five mornings of the 5 days of the week, we have a prayer line. And so there's teaching going on in addition to prayer 5 days a week in the mornings. And then there's a regular Bible study every Wednesday mm-hmm. evening. And I personally teach Bible study, and I'm also on the prayer line along with the deacons and the deaconess. And so we're interacting with the members, we're interacting with the community, and so we have missionaries as well, outreach programs to teach people the principles and who God is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm saying because someone might say, well, you are teaching the principle of this God. What about all the other gods? I think we can safely say that education, it is absolutely needed for people to say, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm holding on to God. I'm going to keep on going. No, no matter how many rocks I see, no matter how many burnings I see, no matter how many people laid off their jobs, I'm going to keep on going. That sounds like strong medicine to me. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for being with us for this segment of Am I Holding On to God in Vain, Part 2. We will be picking up on Part 3 because I have a dynamite question for next week that might put this in the water. But right now, we're going to segue into the second half of our program, which brings us to hear from Chaplain Doug Cohen. This is such a, my God, so much of an exciting gentleman. I've known him for a few years, but I didn't know all about him. And I'm so happy that he's going to be part of the show this morning. I'm going to read you just a little bit about him, because if I read everything, of course, you know, the whole show time would evaporate. But I want to share with you a little bit about him. He served in the State Air Force as a Jewish chaplain. Someone mute your phone, please. Mute your phone. During the Vietnam War, I want to give him kudos and all his credits. He is now in his 58th year of chaplaincy. Dog serves as a JWV, I'm going to leave it as he wrote it, National Chairman of the End Homelessness Commission that he created. He also was and is a Jewish War Veteran Senior Vice Commander for the State of California, and he served also as JWV Chaplain for the state. He's the founder and past commander of the Tabor Rubin, hope I'm saying that right, JWV Post number 786, named for the only Holocaust survivor to come to this country. Also, Chaplain Dove is the chairman of the board of directors of the Los Angeles National Cemetery Foundation, chairman emeritus of the Board of Veterans Holiday Celebration in his 30th year, and he has served the veteran communities at both California Institute for Women and for Men, where he co-founded the VIP, which is known, I believe, as the Veteranism Prison. I could go on, but we're going to bring him on and let him talk in his own way, because I have a few questions. I see the dashboard is full of questions for this wonderful man. Let us welcome now Chaplain Dove Cohen. Chaplain, are you there?
Well, thank you. I'm here, and thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to share some information with your listeners.
You are more than welcome. So many people are hanging on to hear exactly what you are about in the flesh. We can read all about you. We can hear all about you. And we can also hear about the wonderful wife that you have. She is my everything. I'm trying to get her to be my mentor, Pink Lady. She has this show every Sunday. You can talk to us a little bit more about that. But how did you begin your career, Chaplain Dove?
During the Vietnam War and when I was at seminary, the call went out for chaplains. There were not enough. There are never enough. Chaplains are overworked, undervalued, and underpaid, but we show up and we put on the uniform and we serve our community. I could go through a lot of history, but if I may, I'd like to begin this morning by sharing with you the thing that we spoke about most recently. We created a program with Chaplain Ari Montanari called the Food to Life Program. And we're not only serving people who are veterans and seniors and people who are in need of food. Right now with the pandemic is the crisis level where people are literally going without food. And because they're going without food, they're not taking their medicines, they're not able to get out and shop. Those that are of an older age have a great deal of difficulty just getting enough food to survive. So Chaplain Montanari, who's a former Air Force chaplain, as I am, he's a little bit younger than I am, but a very dynamic man, had an idea and reached out to FEMA, to the county, to other agencies, and to a lot of private individuals and corporations, and said, we have people that are hungry, and we're going to be able to go feed them. And all they have to do to join this program, which is a free program, is to call 949-215-9995 or go to foodtolife.org, F-O-O-D, the word T-O, LIFE.org. The program started when COVID hit last March of 2020. It was going really well in Orange County, and San Diego. Then it expanded to Riverside and San Bernardino. And then we got a call from Los Angeles County. Would we kindly bring our program to L.A.? We did. And as we were about to begin in September, we actually began in L.A. County September 16th. A very dear friend of ours, and a humanitarian, a veteran, and a man who always was there for his community, Kevin Dobson, the actor, died. And so we asked his wife and two sons and daughter-in-law if we could rename our program, which by September was quite successful. And we renamed it the Kevin Dobson Memorial Food to Life Program. We started serving with 10 people in L.A. in September, and now we're doing more than 25,000. So
oh my God.
If nothing else comes out of this interview with you today, it's not important that people know me or my background, what they know and what they need to know. And if they don't need food, they may know someone who does, is to either call the 949-215-9995 or go to foodtolife.org and enroll. And we deliver 21 free meals every week. On Monday, we deliver 6 for Tuesday and Wednesday. On Wednesday, 6 for Thursday and Friday. And on Friday, 9 meals for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Together, you and I and your listeners are going to save some lives, they're going to improve some lives, and they're going to help in this worst of all pandemic times when people are dying and people are sick. Our very dear friend Tommy Lasorda passed away. We have an opportunity to turn things around in our own way. And thank you for the opportunity to let people know that the foodtolife.org program is there for them, for their friends, for their families. I've had so many. We had a man in the San Fernando Valley call, and he said, I'm 103, World War II veteran, and I can't get out to get food. I don't cook. Occasionally meals are brought to me, but I've heard about this program. Am I eligible? And we said, absolutely. The next morning we started delivering food. He has called his doctors, and he said he's never felt better. He's doing well, and he's just a typical example. Yes.
Well, hey, this is what I think people from the dashboard want to know. What is the process of delivering 25,000 meals? I don't know if you said this was a week or month. How do you do that?
What we decided to do was instead of creating the wheel, you know, people are always reinventing. And they say, we have an idea, so we're going to start from the ground floor and work up. We decided we'd reach out to people in our community who are doing great work. As an example, we went to the California State Commanders Veterans Council. This is a council that supervises and the legislation that goes on in Sacramento that affects veterans and their families. We went to them and we said, here's what we have. You represent the Jewish War Veterans, the American Legion, the VFW, the Disabled American Veterans, Vietnam Veterans. Help us reach people in the community that are in need, that are food insecure. Food insecure doesn't begin to explain it. And they voted unanimously, and they are part of what we're doing. Something else that happens that is amazing to us is we received an invitation from the wonderful program Meals on Wheels. They have a corporate office that deals with Meals on Wheels America. And they said to us, we love what you're doing. The foodtolife.org program is successful. You're helping a lot of people. We want you to be part of what we do. So as of the 1st of January, just last week, we were invited and are now, if you go to our website, foodtolife.org, you will see the Meals on Wheels America logo. We are now affiliated with one of the oldest and best programs to feed people in our country.
Meals
on
right.
Wheels.
That's
and right. They began in 1958. We began in 2020, and we're working together to make sure that everybody who is in need gets the kind of help they need. As I tell people in public service announcements, we don't give a handout. We give you a hand up. So I encourage your listeners, write down the phone number, 949-215-9995, and get that number in the hands of somebody in need so that we can help feed more people. And if they want to support us, they can donate at the same website, foodtolife.org. But what I primarily want people to understand is each of them can do something. Can you imagine if your listeners, if each one of them over the next month reached into their mailbox, reached into their telephone book and said, I know somebody that might have a need, and they call them and they get them in the program, we could go easily to double and triple the numbers we're doing now. And that's what we want to do. We want to help people in need. And we know that that Dr. Copertino's listeners are dedicated, they're religious, they care about their neighbors, and we want to help them eat better and be healthier.
Oh, my God, this sounds fascinating. But here, let me just back up a bit. Let's talk about the meals. What kind of food goes into the meals? I think I heard you say, and I did check out the website, that some of them are organic. Let's talk about exactly what is delivered. Do they get a beverage with the meal? Bread included? What
right.
kind of meal are you guys handing out?
Okay, so breakfast might include... We have a 14-day menu, so everything goes on for 14 days, and then it repeats. So breakfast might be an egg McMuffin, milk, a piece of fruit, pancakes, waffles, French toast, scrambled eggs, hash browns. Pardon me?
I'm getting hungry just hearing that.
Yes, well, you know, So that would be a typical breakfast. Lunches and dinners, we have salmon and rice. We will have cod. We do a lot of plant-based food, so that with crumbles, which is like a hamburger. We do eggplant parmesan, salads, tuna salad, egg salad. We do couscous. We do lots of Mediterranean food. And the other thing is, for those who are observant Jews, every meal is kosher. For those who are Muslim, everything is halal certified. So we reach out to everyone, our Christian, our Buddhist, our Muslim, our Jewish, everyone in the community. And so we're covered with kosher food and halal certified food. We want everyone. We are totally inclusive. The only thing we ask people when they register is their name, their address, their date of birth, and we get out. We don't ask them about their financial situation. That's really none of our business. What is our business is making sure people eat better and get healthy. That's what we're all about.
Well, I think I'm going to sign up. I mean, that sounds absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure the listeners is going to take advantage of a program such as this. Now, do you guys have any plans on maybe stretching out of the Los Angeles boundaries? Is there a program that you guys have in the works to go nationwide? How does that fit into
Yes. Well, okay, so right now we are in Los Angeles County, Orange, San Diego, San Bernardino, and Riverside County. So there's five counties. We have been approached to take our program up to Sacramento, to San Francisco, to Stockton, to Fresno, when we can, when we have sufficient support. Because part of the money that comes in to do all of this work, and by the way, you know me and you know Pink Lady well enough to know that we pay ourselves a dollar a year. We do this as volunteers. This is not a money maker. Nobody is making profit, which is why we can serve so many people. So I'm the highest paid person, and I get $1 a year. But when we can safely expand, I will tell you that some wonderful corporate entities have reached out to us and are supporting us. Our friends at Union Bank have always been there from day one. Our friends at Humana, healthcare systems, they called us and they said, how can we help you? We want to do what you're doing and help you do it better. And we said, come on aboard. We have people with every veterans organization. We've been featured in veteran magazines for American Legion. I've been a member of the American Legion Hollywood Post for the last 15 years. Our good friends in Pacific Palisades, the Ronald Reagan American Legion. And we're actually opening post down in Mission Viejo. The mayor there called us and said, we don't have a program that deals directly with veterans, residents where veterans can go if they're homeless. So we are opening up an American Legion Jewish War Veteran Mission Center, Mission Viejo Veterans Center, and there'll be veteran service officers there who can help veterans apply for benefits and file claims for those that are ill, appeal when those are not approved. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to reach out in the community. And it, as time allows, if I'd like to mention a couple of other things that I've been involved with. Okay, so one of them is there are 140 national cemeteries. I am fortunate to have been the president, and now I'm chairman of the board of the Los Angeles National Cemetery. We've been in existence since the late 1800s. We have 88,800 grave sites that are full. And so we got the federal government built a columbarium, and we can now do an additional 90,000 funerals for our American heroes.
My goodness. So, oh, my goodness.
Anybody listening who knows a veteran, and if a veteran dies, the family is entitled to have that funeral at the L.A. National Cemetery, and if they're closer to Riverside, at the Riverside National Cemetery, there's no cost to the family, and we provide military honor guard. We do the funeral. We maintain it for life. There's no cost to the family, and people don't know that, and they should know.
No, they don't. I'm just warning that.
Most people just don't understand. There are other programs that are wonderful. As you know, Pink Lady has a program, Sunday nights on Channel 18 KSCI at 5 o'clock. Many of our guests are civic leaders. We have veterans. We have wonderful performers. We just had someone on not long ago, one of the original Mouseketeers, who actually at 77 was tap dancing and was amazing. We've had Mickey Stevenson, who was the A&R man for Motown, discovered Stevie Wonder, wrote Dancing in the Streets, and we had two programs with him, including Diana Ross and Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson and Lionel Richie and Stevie Wonder. So that's something the Pink Lady has been doing for about 18 years, and the program is wonderful. It's also on pinkladypresents.com, and that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Another program that is a wonderful program, you mentioned it earlier in the introduction, Veterans in Prison. My colleague, Catholic chaplain, Steve Sterry. Yes, Steve Sterry is a Catholic chaplain. And he and I are friends, and we together founded VIP Veterans in Prison. And when we went to the prison originally, the warden at the women's prison in Corona called me and said, I have this woman. She's going to be here for 10 years. She was involved in a domestic violence situation, killed her boyfriend who had been beating her up, and is she entitled to any benefits? She has children, and she was honorably discharged. the long and the short of it is we found out that there were a number of veterans who, because of alcohol and drugs primarily, end up in prison. And nobody was doing anything for them. So we brought in Major General Peter Gravett, who was Secretary of the California CalVet Veterans Affairs, and we got benefits for them. The long and the short of it is that from one person in 8 years ago, we now have 57 who are involved in the program in the women's prison and several hundred at the men's prison in Chino. And all year long, they make product, which we bring all the raw materials, and they create afghans and quilts and pillows and all kinds of handiwork. And then and when we have stand-downs for homeless veterans, we go out, we pick up all of this material that they made, and we distribute it free of charge to the veterans that are on the streets. A lot of them, there are a lot now, about a third are women veterans. There are families with young children living on the streets, and we try to help them. The most recent thing that I'm involved in, two friends, Will Covert and John Lockett down in Long Beach, started a program just a few months ago called Veterans Compassion Campaign. And they decided that since there are veterans on the street and it gets really cold out there, that they would find some waterproof, really well-made sleeping bags and new packages of underwear and socks. Underwear and socks are the two most requested things from homeless veterans. And so they started putting together some funding. And again, they're all volunteers. And they are distributing this month their first package of about 100 sleeping bags. And they're doing it with another friend of ours, Joe Leal. 15 years ago, Joe started Vet Hunters Project. Joe is still on active duty, and he and his friends, when they're not working, go out up in the hills and down in the gullies and find veterans and help them and get them appointments, get them transportation, give them a phone card so they can call family members. Joe Leal is an amazing man. There are so many amazing, dedicated people.
That's what I'm hearing.
Who have, you know, and you know something? I was listening to your program before I went on, and you were talking about God. You were talking about religion. These are some of God's best handiwork. These are people who care about the fellow man and woman. These are people who are volunteers who make things happen because they have a skill set that enables them. And those are God-given talents. And I'm so proud that at age 76, and as you know, Pink Lady just had her 88th birthday, as she says to people.
Wait a minute. You're kidding. I missed that.
She's in here.
Oh, my God.
She never says 88. She says, I'm in my 89th year. And she's going strong, and the people who tune in Sunday nights at 5 o'clock will get to see her as she does her thing, interviewing people and bringing entertainment to people. There's never a cost. It's on your television, your cable, however you get your broadcast. It's
right,
there
right.
for you. It's free of charge.
Well, let me ask you this, Chaplain. I don't know what to even call you now after hearing all this. Mr. Cohen, Chaplain Cohen. Listen, tell us, we have 5 minutes left. Tell the audience how they can once again reach you, get in touch with you, get some more information about the wonderful programs that you're actually doing. Let's hear the phone numbers, the call sign numbers. Let's hear website information.
Okay, I'll make it as simple as I can because it's easy for people to remember. Okay, so the best way to reach me and to reach Pink Lady, because we do everything in concert, is to go to PinkLady7@earthlink.net. PinkLady7@earthlink.net. If they're interested in the food program, go to call the number 949-215-9995 or go on the website foodtolife.org foodtolife.org. And they can reach any of us through that site. They can enroll for food. They can refer people. If they want any other information, there's another program called Homes for Families. Our friend Donna Deutschman is the CEO, and they have built over 350 new homes in the last 15 years. They're building another 20 or so right now in Palmdale. They've built them in Santa Clarita. They've built them in, they're going into North Hollywood next. And these are homes for veterans or active duty. These are people who can qualify by just reaching out to homesforfamilies.org. That's one
thing. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for always connecting people who have knowledge and skill to people who have a need so that we can all help each other. God bless you, Dr. Papadino.
God bless you. Oh, my God. I've heard so much, and I'm sure the audience, hey, you guys, how much you just enjoyed this hour. I mean, you have an opportunity to not only reach out for your family, but reach out to help others. And let me say this now. If you want to offer a donation, again, you heard Chaplain Cohen. You can visit foodtolife.org or 949-215-9995. They will give you more information. Oh, my God. I'm just so happy for this day. Thank you again. Kiss Pink Lady for me. She is just, oh, she's over the top. You guys have got to see her, hear her, listen to her. Okay, this is our show for the day. We have welcomed so many to the Global Business of Living today, and we welcome you and your family to continue listening. Saturdays, 8 a.m. If you have any topic you want to hear, if you want any opportunity to be on the show, just let us know. Thank you again, Colonel Harrison, and also Chairman of just about everything great, Dev Cohen, Chaplain Dev. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.